My name is Robert Blank. I live in Baltimore City, the Canton area. It's a two-part question. Why are businesses leaving the state, and how do you plan to attract new businesses?
Mr. Lawler.
Yeah, thank you. That's an easy one. I think we're ranked 48th worst to do business in this state. I know the taxes are out of control here. I've had several conversations with business owners leaving. The tyrannical attitude that exists in Annapolis, as if you work for the government and that the government doesn't work for you, that exists. The excessive regulations and fees. We had a farmer on the Eastern Shore, a man named Alan Hudson, who was sued with his own tax dollars by the law center here at the University of Maryland for excessive phosphorus deposits and nitrogen deposits, quote unquote, to be found on his farm. They weren't even there. He won the lawsuit, but the farmer had to come up with $1 million to pay his legal fees. Where does a farmer get that kind of money to pay legal fees to have his own state sue him? Businesses are leaving us at the rapid rate and taking good jobs with them, thus shrinking the middle class in numbers faster than I've seen in recent memory. And it's because of this excessive tax, it's because of the environment, it's because of the regulations. What will we do? Our plan will eliminate the personal income tax in 5 years. That plan was endorsed by Dr. Arthur Laffer, who was Ronald Reagan's economic advisor. We will work with the legislature hard to ensure that we pass a real taxpayer's bill of rights that ties the growth of government directly with cost of living and CPI. So no longer will more money be taken out of your pocket than what you're making to sustain the current government that we have. And finally, our departments will start working with Marylanders and start treating you all as the customers that you are, instead of this tyrannical attitude where you actually think you deserve something from the government. I mean, the government actually deserves something from you. It should work the other way around.
Mr. Hogan.
Well, this is a great question. Thank you for asking it. It's one of the main reasons why I decided to run for governor. I am a small businessman. As I said earlier, I brought hundreds of companies and thousands of jobs into Maryland. I also started 3 years ago the largest nonpartisan grassroots citizen organization in state history, Change Maryland. We now have 93,000 people involved. The issue is our state is being devastated. Most people aren't focused. I'm glad we finally got to an economic question and about what's happening to the businesses. We only have three Fortune 500 companies headquarters left here in Maryland. We've lost 6,500 small businesses, almost 100,000 jobs. Unemployment is up 76%. There's three basic reasons. CEO Magazine ranked us 41st out of 50 states in business friendliness. We have an onerous tax policy. We can't compete with the other states in the region. Businesses are leaving in droves to go to Virginia, to Delaware, to West Virginia, to other states. It's causing us, we've had the largest mass exodus of taxpayers of any state in the Mid-Atlantic region and one of the worst in the country. This is what we've got to turn around. You can't keep taxing people out of the state. Businesses are leaving. Individual citizens are leaving. We've got an onerous regulatory policy. We've got an over-aggressive tax policy that's taxing people out of the states, and we've got an anti-business attitude that has to change. It's happening all across our state. Baltimore City is experiencing it worse than any place else.
Mr. George.
Well, thank you. I'm also a business owner. I'm about the only retail business owner in the legislature that has a storefront. Small town, Main Street America, Main Street Annapolis, I've been a business owner there. I was asked to go testify on many issues concerning small business and what was hurting us. And I helped to turn a few things around. I got a cap on the boat excise tax. I won the repeal of the tech service tax. Now, I have to tell you that all these business organizations come in and testify. They get in the game like I did. And Change Maryland has never come in and testify on any of these bills. So to say it's a grassroots organization, to those on Ways and Means, it's an insult. We've been fighting it for years. Everything we said has come true about the people leaving. My sons and I had to have the conversation. I'm still young enough to help them get established in another state. My family goes back to the late 1600s in this state. I don't leave, but it was up to them, and they wanted me to stay and fight, which is they knew that's what I wanted to do. We lower that personal income tax, at least 10%. I'm going to do an emergency piece of legislation, unlike the other proposals here, so that in April, right after I get in, you will get a 10% reduction on your 2014 tax returns. That helps small businesses. It injects some money right into your pocket. Lower that corporate rate. I had a bill to lower it by a quarter point. Let's businesses here know that help is coming and it stops the bleeding. I'm almost out of time, so I'll just finish by saying that I've been as successful as a businessman. My business has never went bankrupt or anything like that. I've never gotten in trouble with them. I've lived week to week at times, but I made sure we stayed within our means. My employees are like family. I see these other ones leaving, and it hurts. They're all friends. They're all people I know.
Mr. Crowder.
I'd like to, since he took a little shot at Change Maryland, I just want to respond to that.
Absolutely.
Change Maryland has been the leading voice of opposition to the failed economic policies of the O'Malley Brown administration here in the state and nationally. And we're the ones that did all of these studies. We are the ones that totaled up the number of businesses that left the state. We're the ones that totaled up the impact of the 40 consecutive tax hikes that have taken $9.5 billion out of the pockets of struggling Maryland families and small businesses. We did the taxpayer exodus study that proved that 31,000 taxpayers had fled our state and took with them $1.7 billion a year. So while the delegate has done a great job down in the legislature trying to fight some of these things in committee, we've been out here organizing a grassroots army to try to bring about change and to change the dialogue in this state.
Just very briefly, if you ever saw an ad on Facebook that says, repeal the gas tax, change Maryland, hit like, and you hit like, he considers you one of those 90,000 followers. Apparently, I'm a follower of Larry Hogan. I'm a member of his organization, he considers. Those stats that he talks about, we uncovered, they come from the federal level, all those taxes, all those fees, and all those things that we talk about, they come from DBED. You get them, they're online. You can find them, you organize them. All the ones he says he uncovered and did the studies for, they've been out there. We've used them on Ways and Means. We've used them on floor fights. There's nothing new about it. I think Change Maryland was all about Larry Hogan. Thank you.
Mr. Craig.
Well, I'm David Craig. I'm the Harford County Executive. My plan is to take the success we've had in Harford County and take it to the state level, to Annapolis. What do I mean by that? The economy tanked in 2008. We actually have 8,000 more jobs in Harford County than we did when it went bad. I didn't create them. Businesses created them. How did we do that? We lowered property taxes. We created a very good Department of Economic Development with people who reach out. Because the key to your question also is, instead of worrying about bringing new jobs in, let's make sure we keep the ones that exist here first. I don't want to see McCormick leave. McCormick started here 125 years ago. You know, if the governor had tried to keep Sparrows Point here or Western Electric, all those jobs that maybe you probably, everyone here probably knew someone that worked at those companies, keep the ones here first. Don't go to Brazil or India to try to bring in new ones. Keep the ones here first. Then attract the other ones. Harford County, we have over 100 manufacturers in Harford County now. We have over 150 or 130 defense contractors. Again, I did not create them. And when we went to AAA bond rating this year, the only county in the state to go to AAA bond rating with all three bond rating agencies said, you do a really good job at spending money. The key was, they said, you have such a diverse economy. We don't want to be like Detroit. Detroit was all about automobiles. And when the automobiles started falling apart and not being, you know, good manufacturing, it killed that city. You have to have a good diverse economy so that if one of them is having a problem, then you can still have other people have jobs. So that is the key thing. Have someone that has success having done it, and we'll take it to Annapolis.
Thank you. We have another question along these lines of dollars and cents. Go ahead and share your question.
I'm Eileen Coffey, and I'm a resident of Harford County. Most of you have proposed eliminating personal taxes and cutting corporate taxes. How will you replace these funds, or at least some part of them, or which programs will you eliminate?
As county executive, we did lower property taxes, so we have the experience. The key is not that you need more money, and I would phase out the income tax over a five-year plan. After the first year, we would examine how it worked to make sure that we were bringing in less money. What it will do is it will grow your economy, so it makes the pie bigger, ultimately. That is what happened in those nine states. They're not just blue or red states, you know, Texas, Tennessee, Delaware, Washington State. They don't have the income tax. There are nine of them. They are the most successful economic states in our country, but they only represent 20% of the people, but over 70% of the new jobs that have been created. That's where people are going. They're basing it on that. So you won't need more money. The key for our, we will actually spend $5 billion less. And what we'll do is we'll start with the departments and say, lower your budget by 3%. Now, can each of you live off 3 cents less than a dollar? Most likely you can. The government can. They've raised the price of government by 35% in the last 8 years. And I'm sure none of you got a 35% pay increase. Another thing is, if we get rid of the income tax, anybody who has a pension A lot of those people are making that decision. I'm moving to Pennsylvania. I'm moving somewhere, you know, especially if you're a veteran. Why should they have to pay a tax on their pension? They're just leaving to go somewhere else. We want them to stay here in the state. That builds your economy. That provides the extra money that you need.
Mr. George.
Ms. Coffey, thank you for the question. It's a good question. I've already uncovered waste within the government. I did it from the federal government's audits of our state, and I'll give you an example. Four straight audits, they found at least $370 million that was wasted to child health care disbursements to Baltimore, not getting to the people it was supposed to, no accountability where it goes. If I gave $200 million more to those kids, I could still save $100 million. It's more getting to them. I'm not cutting the program itself. It's the department where the waste is. I can go through all the departments and give you different examples of this. Prince George's County, four straight audits over 8 years, $400 million of their $1.8 billion education budget was wasted. Same thing. They couldn't find where it was going. Four straight times. I had an amendment on the House floor saying withhold some money till they straighten it out, and they haven't. I will get more money to the schools and still have some money. So I'll be able to do that 10% cut right away. That's how I can do it, because I've already uncovered that through the federal and independent audits. But then I'm going further. I'm asking for independent audits of all departments and agencies. Department of Legislative Services is willing to help with that. They're excited about it because they've seen the waste and nobody's ever doing anything about it. I've been on the front line on a budget committee for these past 8 years. I know where the money is. I know what's happening. We need a bigger voice. You put me in the governor's seat and you'll have it. Thank you.
Mr. Hogan.
When we were running the state government, before this current administration, when we left and turned over the keys to the group that's now running Annapolis, we had a $1 billion cash surplus in the bank. The state was in the best fiscal shape it's been in decades. Since that time, this administration has increased spending by $10 billion. That's a 36% increase. The National Governors Association, which is a nonpartisan group, said we increased spending at a rate higher than 46 other states, that only three states in the country increase spending the way we did. So spending is the number one problem. We don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. I agree with some of the comments the other fellows made. Our plan, the Hogan-Rutherford plan, is to first get spending under control. And we've identified $1.75 billion worth of waste, fraud, and inefficiency and duplication of effort throughout every single agency in state government. That's where we'll start. I also agree with Ron. We're calling for independent outside audits of every single state agency. That's part of our plan. We have a requirement for a balanced budget here in Maryland. So you can't just say we're going to eliminate all the taxes and have no plan for replacing. Where are you going to cut? We have a plan on how to cut spending, and then we're going to get as many of these taxes rolled back to the 2007 levels as we can before these 40 tax increases killed our economy. But you can't, you know, the Democrats are proposing billions of new spending without saying how to pay for it. Some Republicans are saying let's eliminate all the taxes without saying what they're going to cut. We have a plan that's taking a look at both sides of the equation.
Mr. Lawler.
The assumption is that they're spending your money efficiently now. And that's a terrible assumption to make. The numbers are accurate, 36% increase. But let me give you a better example of that. Where did we get $220 million to waste on a failed website for the Affordable Health Care Act implementation? I mean, my wife is pretty good with my dollar. She takes care of my money because she's much better at it than I am. She can tell you when we're missing 15 cents. How do we just miss $220 million so we can start all over again? And we have a legislature currently that knows we have a $210 million structural deficit. But even though we have that deficit, they still found a way to vote themselves a pay increase this year. It's interesting when people try to corner my comments and say, he wants to eliminate the personal income tax. How are you going to pay for it? How can we continue to sustain the pattern that we're on with businesses leaving us left and right, taking tax dollars with them? Over that same 8-year period, they took $5.5 billion of revenue with them. And whenever I hear someone talk about, well, you know, you're going to cut essential services. No, we don't have to. If we simply control the growth, instead of growing, for example, at 5.5-6% like we did this year at $2.3 billion, and only grow at 2%, we'll save ourselves $1.3 billion in the first year. So the assumption that they're spending it wisely, don't make that failed assumption. In fact, we are in such a financial crunch that your legislators voted themselves a pay increase on a part-time job this year. There's a problem with that. We do have the savings, and personally, I have a wonderful lieutenant governor that will serve you well, and Ken Timmerman, who is an investigative reporter, and we're doing external audits on every tax bill that was passed over the past 8 years. We'll find the savings.
Time, Mr. Lawler. The next question. Maryland is now the 18th state to repeal the death penalty. The O'Malley administration argues it is costly, it is not a deterrent, and is racially biased. Do you want to see a return of the death penalty? And if so, how do you guarantee its fairness? Mr. Lawler.
Well, that's a great question. And we guarantee its fairness, and yes, I do. And we guarantee its fairness by making sure it's implemented correctly, but it starts with leadership. But again, that whole idea that it's a racial divide is yet another way to separate Marylanders for vote purposes for full-time politicians. I'm so tired of the rhetoric. Imagine this. Forget the skin color. A clear American, a clear Marylander, is one of your workers at one of our jails or prison systems here in Maryland. And there's an out-out break or fight that goes on. We know that our Department of Corrections has a lot of corruption involved. What type of security does that clear-colored security guard have? When that inmate knows he already has life without parole, what's one more murder going to do to him? Listen, folks, there are things that are done in this in our societies, and it's unfortunate, and crimes that are so heinous that they absolutely do deserve the death penalty. When we find a case in point where something's been done maliciously or racially motivated, then we'll stop it. That's the beautiful thing about being your executive. But it needs to start at the leadership level and hold everyone from corrections all the way down accountable. And that includes anyone in my departments.
Mr. Hogan.
Well, I have always thought that there are some crimes that are so heinous that you needed to have the option of the death penalty. But now this is a matter of settled law here in Maryland. And I think it was a mistake. But I also know that as the governor of the state, I have to take an oath to uphold the laws of Maryland. The laws changed. This administration failed to implement the law for 8 years until they finally changed it. There's an issue that we have to look at, and that is there are four inmates currently on death row that aren't covered by this new law. What we would do in that case is take I don't have all the facts. I don't have the files on these cases yet. But we would take a very serious look at each one of these on an individual basis. We did that during the Ehrlich administration. It was one of the toughest, most important decisions you ever had to make. But I've talked with prosecutors across the state who say that this has really put them in a bind where they can't threaten people with the possibility of the death penalty. So, the people won't plead down to life imprisonment. It's most of the prosecutors across the state are against it. But it is now the law. I'm not sure we're going to be able to revisit it. I don't know that we're going to change the legislature so dramatically that this law is going to change. And as governor, I'll implement the laws on the books. And I think it's unfortunate that it happened, but we'll just have to make the best of it.
Mr. George.
Thank you so much, Deborah. I can answer this very briefly, so I'm going to go back to the last question for about 10 seconds. The Baltimore Sun published my article about independent audits for all agencies and departments. Before that, no candidates had a plan where they were going to find waste. So I put it out there. It's documented. It's nice to hear other people are on board. As far as the death penalty goes, it's a great concern for all of us. But where it hits home is the prosecutors. They would not allow much testimony from the prosecutors in the hearing. I thought that was wrong. Between the hearing and by the time the bill got to the floor, we heard from them. It was a tool for prosecutors to hold the death penalty out there. And then whoever that prisoner, temporary person who was in custody, was in temporary custody, and he was going to get a trial, he would come clean and he'd tell them much more that saved a lot of lives. It saved lives. There was a gentleman in Baltimore. He raped six women. They believed he was responsible for two murders. They found out who he was from information somebody else gave to them. Prosecutors need that tool. For that reason, I think we ought to put it back. Thank you.
Mr. Craig.
I believe it would have been better to get rid of the death tax instead of the death penalty, the estate tax. But on the death penalty issue, the reality is that we all agree there are certain crimes that took place. The shooting that took place in Connecticut, if the person had not committed suicide, would we have wanted the prosecutor to say, we are going to look for the death penalty for you? The shootings that you mentioned earlier in some of the cases. This has taken away the rights of the prosecutor, the state's attorney, to be able to really push this issue with the person that's been arrested and to get them to either admit that they committed the crime or to at least tried to get a lesser of a penalty. So it was a mistake to do it. It is going to be very difficult in the General Assembly to get that changed immediately, though we do have probably 50 new delegates and senators will be there next year, and maybe they will have a different opinion. But it will probably take them a while to make that change in their decision.